Good evening. You're listening to the Sold on Love podcast. This is the second episode. I apologize on the delays. Us newbies, we're supposed to follow a consistent pattern here. And again, I am apologizing because I know that in order to get this off the ground, I got to get a few more episodes under my belt. But you're going to be with me on this journey, and it'll be beautiful. It'll be beautiful because it's going to evolve from something very homegrown, organic, to likely studio quality. But right now, this is what I got. I've invested in my own equipment. I did the research, whatever I had to do. So this is all me. I don't have a team behind me. I have no money in terms of I got some super duper marketers. I don't even know how to maximize on social media. I've actually started taking myself off social media. But anyhow, so let's kick this off. I'm a Sikh Punjabi man. I grew up through some turbulent times, and it goes without saying, we all come with our traumas. And I don't know if it's the word struggle, but what I'm kind of processing right now is like the cumulative effect of everything that's happened in my life. And what I'm experiencing is it's a lot of things. It's a lot of things. But I want to stay on topic because what I've noticed is there's so much to talk about, and I can easily stray off into other strands of consciousness, other sort of threads to go down rabbit holes, but I'm not going to do that. So the topic, really, if I haven't said it before in my first podcast, I will let you know that one of the drivers for this conversation I'm having with you was generally for everybody. Fortunately or unfortunately, we are tribal by nature, and we gravitate to those that we see some commonality. So I was born into a Sikh Punjabi household. Those who don't know what that is, it's the men that wear turbans and have a beard, and it's not like it's not. I don't want to say anything except for we're not the Taliban. That's a whole different thing. I mean, the Taliban has been classified as so many things, extremist, this, that, of Islam. Sikhs are coming out of India. They're very a new faith. I don't want to use the word religion. I will not use that word when it comes to the Sikh faith, because I don't believe that's what it is. It's been misinterpreted, and there's been a lot of misinformation sent out there. And one of the ideas here is that, like, I cut my hair, so I'm not a baptized Sikh. I'm not an Orthodox Sikh, but I love the tenets. I love the philosophy. It's a very, very deeply, profoundly spiritual faith and a way of life. Essentially, it's spirituality practice with every breath, with every thought, in every moment. And in every aspect of our lives, it's not a pick and choose. And there is some tenets to the faith that I would say make it difficult for the mainstream to adopt. And I understand that. And so that's my background. We have a temple. You could go read up on this. It's simple stuff. And I don't need to educate people on all that right now. The point of this podcast was sort of set the level playing field of why I started this. So why I started this was that I'd seen in our community there's a straying away from our roots, and there's a misguided direction in our community of what our roots are. And I think some of it is intentional, nefarious sort of misdirection intended to create confusion. And The other is just, I think, through natural human, like the natural human condition, we will gravitate to the path of least resistance. Not many of us deal with conflict and crisis and difficulty with ease, nor do we want it. Who wants trouble and pain and suffering and, you know, that part of life? We are all repelling that. We are praying for that. We are doing mindful practices and yoga practices and this mantra and that mantra to totally get away from that, to avoid the pain and suffering, to have a blissful, gleeful, bright, sunny lollipops and sunshine and, you know, a day at the park life. And I ain't saying nothing wrong with that, right? Who likes pain and suffering? I think what I'm trying to get at is, I don't know if there's an easy way. I don't know if there's a hard way. You know, we're told in life that anything worth achieving requires a struggle, and anything like worth having, you know, requires hard work, sweat, blood. You know, the systematic path that's been told to us is quite evident. It's easy to dismiss that because time and time again, we have seen that proven as a truth. Like, success generally, like, you rarely see the flash in the pan, the overnight success. There are some that hit lightning in a bottle, but the common public, the general population, the 95% of us, the 95%ers, we are wired, we are tuned to toil the soil with our sweat and our sheer hard work. And the fruits of our labor, for some, it's nothing. It's meager. For others, it can lead to a life of success. And it has. There's numerous examples. So hard work can be an aversion for some because the immediate goal is not seen or known. Those who actually achieve their goals, I think they have a very focused view on what they want to achieve, where they want to be, and they aim for that target. And many times in our, I'll call it the dense life, the 3D world that we live in, which is our body, which is our senses, and sort of, you know, the construct of what makes us a human, right? That we touch, we feel, we experience, we measure things. And, you know, I talked about the finite and the finite in a pre-recorded episode that I haven't published, but basically we are mostly built of the mindset that if we can't touch it, we can't feel it, we can't see it, we can't measure it, it likely doesn't exist, right? And there's cliche examples. We don't see air or oxygen, but we breathe it, and it's vital to our life force. When we breathe in through our nostrils and out with our mouth, we, you know, the spiritual world says you breathe in the entire cosmos. You breathe in all that there is out in the universe into you. So everything that this world is composed of, the metallics, the minerals, the nutrients, it's all in the void, in the space, and we're breathing it in. Whether you believe that or not, it doesn't matter. What you do know is that when you breathe, you'll live. And if you don't, eventually, you're gonna pass out, you're gonna die. But you can't see it. Now, there are ways to measure the oxygen levels in our air. There's ways to measure hydrogen and like the compositions of, gaseous, because I don't have another word to follow with that. And that's part of being on this podcast. I'm going to keep it real. And so you'd say, okay, well, where's this guy going? Well, what I'm trying to say is that, so in the Sikh faith, there's certain sort of, there's beautiful technology. And it is technology because I'm seeing the modern world trying to untap it now in this mindfulness, spiritual sort of renaissance that's happening in the world. Like you out on YouTube, there's like a gazillion videos on, you know, how to manifest and how to, activate your vagus nerve and the breathing technique through one nostril and the other nostril and like all this stuff, right? So in my faith that I've been born into, and I feel so blessed, and I think that's what I was trying to impart out of this podcast to the youth of my community, is it's a blessing to be born in our faith, because there's been a lot of struggle to establish this faith, and the struggle is still ongoing. But besides the struggle, there's the individual's personal struggle in life, the things that we have to navigate time and time again. And sometimes we don't have the tools for them, and we're not taught them in school, and we don't have a mentor, and maybe we don't feel comfortable reaching out to our parents, and maybe we can't even talk to our siblings. And sometimes, you could talk to your friends, but they may not get it. You have friends, but you are blessed if you have friends where you can completely pour out your heart and they got your back and they're going to support you and they understand you no matter what's going to come out of your mouth. That takes time to build a friendship like that and that trust. And if you have it, God bless you. I know I didn't have that, but I also know that even if you had that, sometimes in your own private space, you need an outlet. Some people play video games, some go punch a boxing bag, some work out, and sure, I'm not saying those are not bad things. I need to process, not necessarily intellectually, I need to process consciously, so that I can affect my subconscious, because we've been programmed since we were children consciously to our subconscious. And then our personality and our habits and our traits, they're so deeply ingrained. They're just who we are. And that's what we tell those. That's a story we tell the world. This is just who I am. And you have to take it or leave it. And, I'm not going to go to that rabbit hole, because there's a whole rabbit hole there. Right. But staying on course with the Sikh faith, the reason I say it's blessed, I feel blessed, is that you have a technology where you can talk directly with Source, which is a guru. But this is not a guru that has been, like, modern day. The word in the modern day world used in the spiritual context is blasphemized. Because it requires obeisance to some human, and they may not have all the tools, they may not have all the wisdom, but they're projecting that, and they have a massive following, and they say the right things. You don't know a person's conduct. You cannot get into their mindset. So, I can't question it, but I just know in my heart of hearts that we're all students of life. And if you self-proclaim and call yourself a guru, you're invoking some level of ego and pride. And I would never want that title, because it's a at a very high spiritual level, the battle is very difficult to fight ego and arrogance and subdue those in this world of Maya. And we'll get into that later. But just staying kind of real for the for my youth out there, for my young bloods who have turned off of, say, Sikhi because you've seen some things that, or you've heard things that just you feel like don't jive with you. Just stay with me here, please. And I'll tell you why. There is some beautiful guidance in here that will course correct your life like nothing else can in your other world. There are people that, like, you know, you can get some information from the world on how to, like, invest in finances and, you know, become an AI engineer, or like, there's the real world. I am also in the real world. I am I'm in a technology profession in my career. Like, I've been in cybersecurity for well over 15 years, and I deal with stuff every day, binary, black and white, true or false. There are some gray areas, but mostly it's a pretty rigid world. And so it's not like I'm sitting in a woo-woo world talking to you with not knowing what I'm talking about. You can live in both worlds. You can be a spiritual person and live within the laws that you would say are the laws of science. And I'll get into that, because everything that is are divine laws. Humans have, this is just a belief system that I believe that humans have the intelligence built into them by our divine source. And with that intelligence, we're able to explore this universe, and we're able to interpret this universe. And then we're able to leverage that interpretation for our progress. And everything comes with a double-edged sword. Everything can be for good or for bad. And I don't want to get into cliche examples, but every technology out there, anyone who created it, I'm sure they were thinking for the better of humanity. The iPhone, my goodness, the advent of the computer, the dishwashing machine, you name it, the microwave oven, right? But eventually, all this progress obviously hasn't solved all our solutions. Like, it hasn't provided the solutions that we needed to become at peace, in harmony, reduced anxiety, less mental health issues, less depression, less sadness, less confusion, less fear. Like, these things have not left humanity, despite all the technological progress. And you would think everything gives us some level of comfort. Right? An ottoman to raise my feet, a reclining chair that's automated versus the lever. But we're still caught up in the mess, right? What I'm trying to let my youth know in the Punjabi communities, the technology is the things that you cannot speak to anybody else, the things that you hide from the world. The things that you hide from your family, from your girlfriend, from your friends, from your boys, from your crew, from your mother, from your grandparents, that you cannot tell anyone else. You can go in a quiet space. You can invoke this beautiful energy by just calling your guru as any way you want to, and open your heart to that divine energy. Speak as you would speak to a trusted person that you knew that if I told them all of this, it stays with them. This is sworn secrecy. This is a blood oath, and it's not going to leave the two of us. That's what your guru is there. He resolves your pain and suffering. Just invoke him. And I don't mean this is going to be immediate. What you'll feel is, you'll have an outlet where you feel like you don't have an outlet. Now, the other part of our community where things get a little obviously tricky is, you know, for those who don't know, the Sikh faith had 10, we've had 10 gurus, and we believe that the light of the first guru, has always been passed through sort of divine transformation to the next guru. And so when any one of these 10 gurus was on this planet and they spoke, there was no difference between the first and the 10th. And in their teachings, it is true. And so sometimes a Sikh faith is called the warrior faith. And, you know, common history would say, yeah, okay, well, there's been a lot of battles. But first and foremost, it is a pure spiritual way of life. And its spirituality is based on a reflection of the self. There's so many lines within the holy text that indicate that before you go out and call someone bad, call yourself bad and call everyone else good. Meaning, it's invoking humility, that don't look out into the world and just see negativity and bad people. First reflect on yourself. That's just like step one. And then the reflection is like very, very deep. It calls out hypocrisy. It calls out falsehood. It calls out lies. It calls out the stories that we tell to the world. But what are we really within? That the dirt that we've put on our soul or on our mind or with our tongue when we say the white lies or we tell the half-truths to the world, that no matter how much soap you use to wash your body, that dirt can never be cleaned without spiritual practice, meditation, going into spaces and acknowledging, I would say, your flaws or your these things that you start realizing that you don't like about yourself, but you don't know how to work them. That's where you speak with your guru. You just let it out. Say, hey, you know what? I screwed up today. I did this. You know what? I messed up. I don't know what happened. I'm looking for forgiveness. The utmost practice in the Sikh faith is upholding divine truth, spiritual truth, and basic human truth. And the reason that is invoked in the Sikh faith is that from truth comes integrity. From truth, you will connect with divine, because the divine is absolute truth. It's not a debatable truth. It is a pure revelation. And what happens is you feel when you know you're walking in integrity and authenticity, that means you're transparent to the world. That means you're not hiding anything. That transparency creates self-confidence, that I am who I am. I am an embodiment of my words and my actions. And with that entire composition, this formula of truth, integrity, transparency, authenticity, arrives courage. And what that means is you will do things that no one else is willing to do. And you will have the wisdom. And this is the magic in the formula. This is not something I can explain. You will start having the wisdom, that eye, to be able to see what's actually happening in the world. When you are talking to someone, you won't get duped. You won't get caught up in other people's nonsense. You'll be able to see the landscape for what it is. When someone's talking to you, you'll be able to know, just looking in their eyes, are they telling you the truth? Are you dealing with a genuine person? Are you dealing with someone you want to actually be around? Do you want this person in your life? Is this person solid? Because when you walk this path of truth, you become solid. And it's not that you don't have patience for others. You're just able to see through. You're able to see through much quicker. And I'm simplifying it because it sounds simple, but it really is. But it starts with your, it's like, it's literally just, I would tell you, go into your bathroom. If you really want to change your life, look in the mirror and call out the things that you don't like about yourself, forgive yourself, and then ask for forgiveness from the divine. Because there is something higher than us. The solar systems, the galaxies, they're in such perfect harmony. Nature is so beautiful, yet we see it's vicious, but that's the laws of nature because we're supposed to learn from that. Going back to the Sikh faith, for my youth, for my young bloods, I know we're not supposed to drink. I know we're not supposed to cut our hair. And what happens is when we hear that, it gives us it creates a disconnect. And what happens is you feel like an outsider and you're not able to maybe be truly an authentic Sikh. Or what I would say is just hold the love for your guru. Your guru is not judgmental like that. When the time comes, you may not cut your hair and stop it, but you don't need to do that right now. All you need to do is, this technology is for everyone, the entire planet. Our first guru came to save the world. And our 10th guru is the gatekeeper of the entire cosmos right now. In every yug, there has always been a gatekeeper. And in this yug, Kali Yug, the age of time, the age of iron, the age of falsehood, the age of fire, the age of the upside down, where truth shall be challenged, and those who uphold the truth will be very, very, very few. And those who produce lies and push falsehood, they will be in the many. And you will not know truth from lies. You will not be able to discern that. And we're seeing that with AI, video generation, content generation. We're seeing that with social media. We no longer can verify what is real and what is not. Yeah, you can see some video to be like, yeah, that's fake, for sure, right? So in this age that we're in, and every age comes to a conclusion, there is an apocalyptic event. There is an end to civilization. We are in kind of in that matrix where there is a reset. Who knows when that happens? We don't need to worry about that right now. All we need to do is be better human beings to everyone else and to ourselves. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our soul. We owe it to our ancestors. We owe it to our families. We owe it to our community, our friends, to be better people. And no matter what people say out there, because there's this rhetoric out there that is being pushed out that we are uncivilized, we're terrorists, like just crazy conversation. When people get oppressed, there's always a pushback. There's always been a revolution throughout humanity when voices get suppressed, history gets erased, cultures are intentionally, sometimes systematically, try to be wiped out. There's always going to be a pushback because you're now infringing on the basic human rights of an individual. So we are not terrorists. Let me just put that out there right now. We are not terrorists. I will not listen to that rhetoric because that is not true. They will come with a million examples to try to prove that. Do not listen to them. This is traumatic. It is painful to the community. It is not right. We are honest, hardworking, just people. And everything that is going on right now is complete and utter lies. Do not listen to it. Be good human beings. Be kind. We are saints. We are programmed to think that we're something else, but in the Sikh faith, the entire practice is spiritual divinity, spiritual cleansing, becoming such a bright human being that you exude the divine, and without any effort, people will gravitate towards you through your divinity. And through this practice, what will happen is you will just start meeting like-minded individuals. And I will tell you, do not be deterred, my young bloods, my young peoples out there who, you know, we love beauty, we love fashion, we love meeting girls and guys, and we get excited, you know, dating and all that stuff. You know, I had girlfriends, I drank, and I cut my hair, and this is a personal battle. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. What I'm saying is, just because you do that, don't cut yourself off from this beautiful technology that's available to you. Use it. No one can tell you you cannot use it. You can use it in your own home. You can use it in your own mindset. You're on the GO train. You're in the car. Call upon it. Go read a little bit. Practice it. You can still have the life that you're currently having, because the spiritual path, it's a very long path. There's a time and season for everything. In this life, there's a lot of blessings required for a lot of things. To have a successful life, to have a beautiful wife or a good-looking husband and a kind, loving spouse, and have children and a wonderful family, and go on vacations and have a beautiful home and have the cars and all that. But at the same time, you want peace of mind, and you don't want to be lying to yourself. I see a lot of folks, I think, are not being honest with themselves, even when they have all that. And there's a lot of fake spirituality out there. The amount of fake spirituality is unbelievable. And it hasn't changed. When our first guru came, there were so many fake gurus out there. People didn't know, because the human condition is in pain and suffering, and they're looking for a solution. So they'll go to anything. And they always want to go to the easy. The easy is easy. And that means not having to do a lot of things and maintaining basically your own bullshit, and thinking, okay, I'll maintain my bullshit, do a little of this little woo-woo spiritual business, and I'm going to be such a wonderful person. And that doesn't work. Eventually, the lies again will come to fruition, and it comes full force in your life. And sometimes it happens when you don't want to, meaning least expect it. And sometimes it happens on your deathbed with so many regrets. It happens. To my young bloods, to my youth, we're not terrorists. If you're drinking and you're cutting your hair, don't dismiss the Gurdwara or the technology. There's such beautiful people there. Connect with them. Be kind to each other. Stop all this fighting. Stop all this like buffoonery and like hoodlumism. This is you being angry with your life. There's a deep-rooted anger in you when you're projecting all this pain and suffering and anger and fights with your own community and others. Step back a bit. Calm down. Take a deep breath. Let's be smart. Let's be like a beacon to the world that we are, like, we are intelligent. We are spiritual. We are kind. We live in the truth all the time. We are courageous. Only then, through spiritual practice, and this is in the Shaolin monk world and in the Buddhist world, you learn martial arts, and there's Sikh martial arts, not to go on the offensive, but to defend your basic human rights and the rights of others who are being oppressed when the time calls for it. It does not mean to go up and pick up weapons and beat each other up and beat others up and like beat your chest like you're some macho man and wear like Sher-e-Punjab. No, that's not the way. That's buffoonery. That's hoodlum. That's not anything. That's just like you should go to jail for that. So I will tell you that. And please, let's stop all that. Let's become a beacon of a good practice of people that people look at and say, hey, that is good people. They may look different from us, but they're good human beings and they're doing good things. They have a good practice. And then we can share that with the world. The technology of spirituality in Sikhi is unbelievable. The depth, it will take you to your inner core. There's nothing out there. There's nothing really out there. There's a lot of things that are mimicking it. I've listened to so many podcasts, and I'm watching certain YouTubes coming, especially from India. There's just a lot of copycat going on, and be careful. There's a lot of charlatans out there, and you before you can know what a charlatan is, you need to know, are you a charlatan yourself to yourself? So start practicing the truth with yourself, and everything else starts sort of becoming self-revelatory. It just becomes a normal practice to see beyond the veil, see beyond the fog, and see beyond the matrix. You can see the glitches. You can see the hardwiring of people. And we have to be gentle. We have to be kind with them. But first, be gentle and kind with yourself. Speak with your guru. You don't need any other technology. Go quiet, go sit in a chair, and just let out all your garbage. Forgive yourself for it and ask for forgiveness and start practicing a way to not repeat that if you can. I mean, there's some hardwiring in us. There's a lot of trauma with us that comes from years and years of accumulation. So it's really hard to stop certain habits. So, you know, if you don't like smoking, okay, that's not going to be easy. But put a seed out, plant a seed, put a prayer out that I would like maybe to get off this habit. If you don't care about that, think of anything else. It could be like maybe you get angry quickly, you get triggered. Maybe you're a jealous person. Maybe you feel like you have some regrets that you should have gone to school, but you couldn't have. Plant the seeds, make the prayer, connect with the divine. Just put it out there that it would have been so nice if I could have. Is there an opportunity for me? I want to reconnect with my true self. I want to reconnect with what I was sent here for, my purpose. Listen, you can have the cars. You can have the homes. You can have it all. But then have it with the right mindset. And then let's be good examples to the world out there. Let's not be buffoons and thugs and like, you know, infringe on other people. Like, let's be good civilized citizens so that we are considered good people. And you'll know it yourself. Like when you're projecting and you're banging drums and you're on the street with your windows down, blasting this music and like just that kind of macho stuff, you're really trying to prove something to yourself by trying to prove it to others, which means you're feeling a lack within yourself. That there's something about you that needs to be heard that hasn't been heard in your life. And now you want the world to hear you because you haven't been heard. Trust me, there are better ways with your life to be heard. Go become the most successful person that's very generous, that gives his wealth out, because what you give out comes back. Our gurus created a beautiful technology of Dasvant, giving a tenth of our earnings back into the community, to the needy, because they know the divine laws. And one of them is, as you give, so you shall receive. As you help others, you will be taken care of. And you shouldn't do it with any expectation. It should come from your heart. So that takes practice, because I could say, oh, you should come from your heart. You should give 10%. Well, I don't want to give 10% because I can barely make rent. Do what you can until you're able to. But I promise you, when you give, It's a great feeling. There's nothing better than giving and helping others. But giving also requires effort. So with that, I will sign off tonight. Have a beautiful evening. And this is the Sold on Love podcast.
Peace.
Keep it real.